I was just talking with somebody this morning, she's in here, that it seems like every time you're asked to speak on a certain topic, God wants to make sure you're good and ready before he lets you say anything. And this Discerning the Seasons of Marriage is a great title, but we're going through a whole new season in our marriage right now, and in life, and but of course it's affecting our marriage, like it's affecting every other area of life, and we're talking a lot about a lot of things we've never talked about before, and I think that's good. I hope it's growing our marriage. But we've been married 17 years, it'll be 18 years this summer, and I'm not 40, I'm 39, and so I feel a little bit young to be talking about the seasons of marriage. I know I've got a lot more to go through. We haven't hit all the stages of life. But I was talking to a friend of mine about this title and was saying that I felt a little bit inadequate. And she said, she's younger than me, and she said, oh, I've been through lots of seasons of marriage. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, and she's funny, and she said, I've been through the flower season, where my husband got me flowers for everything. She said, that's over. That was a season in the past. She said, I've been through the let me help you at home season, and that was done. So I thought, oh, maybe I've been through more seasons than I realize I've been through. But so 17 years later, we've been through some stuff together, but of course there's more to come, and I don't know what that will be, and that's true for all of us. We don't know what's coming. But every day we're married, we are passing through some season. And even if we're in the same type of a season, it doesn't guarantee that we all feel the same way about it. Most of us probably have a favorite season of weather. Some ladies love the spring season, when everything's new, while for others, they have allergies that about kill them every spring. So it's one season, but viewed differently. Some love the summer, some love winter, some of us love fall. Some of us don't know what season is our favorite. Are you like that? Everyone I go into, I think, no, I think this one's my favorite. No, I think this one's my favorite. I don't know what that makes us. But seasons of weather and seasons of marriage are perceived differently by each of us because we're different. One thing we've all got in common, though, is that we're married. I assume if we're in this room, we're married. We're all wives. And it seems to me that across the board, most wives instinctively want our marriages to be better, don't we?
Yes.
We know that they could be. We know in our hearts that fairy tales are not real, right? They're just fairy tales. They're stories that somebody made up, and yet there's some little girl part of us still that wants to experience one so badly. If I were to stand up here and say that Christian life is a battle, I think everyone in the room would agree. We know that, and we expect it to some point. We know we're in spiritual warfare, and that's not going to stop until Jesus comes back for us. If I stand up here and say raising kids is a battle, anybody with children in here knows that that's true. Raising kids can actually suck the life right out of you. I think we're battling sin and Satan and a world around us all the time. We're battling to raise our children for the Lord. And we know it and we expect it with raising kids, but we just keep doing it. But if I stood up here and said, marriage is a battle, what is it that deep down inside of us hears that and we know it's true, but we hate that it's true, right? I didn't want to get married and for it to be a battle. I wanted it to be wonderful. I don't want to have to work at it. I wanted it to be happily ever after. And it's probably the one relationship that Satan fights the hardest. And yet it's the one relationship that sometimes I think we are least willing to fight for. So today we're just going to say it, that marriage is a battle too. And we're not supposed to be battling each other. That's not the point. But we are in a battle against Satan, who is working hard to destroy our marriages. And a failed marriage is like a trophy to Satan. How many of you, actually don't raise your hand, just answer in your head. How many of you would say that you didn't realize it on your wedding day, but you actually married the single most opposite person in the world from you? You found him, and then you married him. How many think your husbands might say the same thing at this point? Mine would, I know he would. The thing is, didn't you think you had so much in common before you got married? That was the whole point, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know what happens. My husband and I are true and tried opposites completely down the line. If somebody asked me to describe my perfect day, I would say I would get up early, get my list out, get going on it, knock it out all day long, have a good meal with my family, and then be done. Mm-hmm. Sit on the back porch, whatever. Drink a tea, go to bed early. That's just a perfect day to me. If you ask my husband what his perfect day is, it's the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. He would sleep in, then he'd get up and have a long, leisurely sit out on the back porch. And somewhere around noon or 2 o'clock, start working. And then work till 2 o'clock in the morning and do it again the next day. And we're just completely opposite. God made us so different. I like sweet, he likes salty. He loves to travel, I love to stay home. We joke around with each other a lot, and I know there's days he thinks I landed from another planet, but our brains just don't work the same. And I think we could all say that. Our brains don't work the same. It doesn't mean that one is always right and one is always wrong, but we're not the same. I heard marriage described this way. You've probably heard it. Marriage is when you agree to spend the rest of your life sleeping in a room that's too warm beside someone who's sleeping in a room that's too cold. That's a good summary of marriage. And yet we hang on to this expectation of marriage to be like a fairy tale. And like we said last night, sometimes we create our own heartbreaks through our expectations. So we need to be honest. If you're waiting for your marriage to turn into a fairy tale, you're setting yourself up, setting your own self up for heartbreak. If you're already there and you're frustrated and hurt because your marriage is not a fairy tale, then really all you need is a good dose of God's word. He created marriage. He created you. He created your husband. And it's his plan for you to stay married and follow his will, not go kicking and screaming through the rest of your married life. How do we do that? I love this title today, describing this, discerning the seasons of marriage, because that's a great way to describe marriage, full of seasons. Life has different seasons, kids have different seasons, and so does marriage. Remember those vows that you took when you got married? For better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. We may have not realized it at the time, but we took those vows as a commitment through seasons of marriage. Good times, hard times, times of blessing, times of need, sickness and health. The honeymoon season doesn't last forever. We know that. It's not supposed to. But that doesn't mean we're downhill from there. That's not it either. The honeymoon is just the first of a lifetime of seasons. And so today we're going to look at five things, five facts about seasons from God's word. And then we're going to apply them to our marriage. And honestly, it's my prayer that as we walk out of here, you have a peace in your heart and a trust in him and a little more patience, maybe, as we understand that there are seasons in marriage. So number one, if you want to write this down, remember that God controls the seasons. God controls the seasons. I remember looking at my calendar this past year, and I wrote it down. The first day of summer on my calendar was June 21st. That's what the calendar said. Now, I've lived in California for the past 20 years, and summer comes way before June 21st, even though that was the day it was on the calendar. We all kind of roll our eyes at those dates. The season didn't wait for the day on the calendar. The first day of fall this past year was scheduled for September 22nd. But fall for me, I didn't even put a sweater on until sometime in mid-November. So that season didn't happen according to the calendar. And I'm not sure exactly how those dates come up on the calendar, who plans them. I'm sure there's a great system. But I do find comfort in knowing that God is not bound by our official season kickoff dates. We can try, we can plan, we can even put it on the calendar. But God moves us from season to season as he desires. And it's the exact same thing is true in our marriages. God is in control of the seasons that we pass through in our marriage. Daniel 2 20 and 20 through 22 said, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the season. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom and knowledge to them but no understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and light dwelleth in him. Acts 1, verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. So God's in control of seasons. So what do I do with that in my marriage? Here's what you do. Write down these two words. Don't panic. Don't panic. Don't panic as you enter into a new season. In a week or a month or a year, it can be unfamiliar to you. It can be something you didn't see coming. Not what you thought it would be, but don't panic. Don't do this, ugh, now what do? I don't know what to do. Somebody help me. We don't know what to do. That's a panic mode we go into when things change. Don't do that. Don't start staring at your season and take your eyes off of God. He's got the season that you're in right now, and he's got that season you're headed into. It's not news to him, and there's nobody in heaven that's panicking. So don't panic here. God's in control. Isaiah 43, 2 and 3. I love these verses, and they're good verses if you're a panicker. I don't know if that's a word. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. God didn't say in those verses, you don't have to walk through the waters. And you don't have to walk through the fire. The truth is, we're all going to have those times. We're all passing through seasons. But he said, in every one of those times, I will be with you. I've got the water and the fire and the seasons in my hands, and I will be with you. So God is in control of the seasons. Number two, one season does not define my whole marriage. One season does not define my whole marriage. Listen closely to these verses, if you will, for a minute. If you have your Bible and want to turn there, that's fine. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 8. I love the way that God wrote this. And if you're just listening, listen for a season as I read these verses. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That is such a hopeful and powerful and uplifting passage in God's word about our hopeful and powerful Christian life and future. But in the middle of all that hope and power and promise, there's a season. Verse 6 said, a season of grief, sadness because of trials. And then verse 7 goes on to say how even those trials are precious and they'll bring glory and praise to the Lord. So the whole Christian life is not summed up by the words trials and temptations. That's not the whole Christian life. Actually, I think hope and power are better descriptions of the Christian life. Yet we do have seasons of trials. But a difficult season doesn't have to define your whole marriage as difficult. How many of you remember the newborn baby season? Remember that? We got some babies in here. How could you ever forget the newborn baby season, right? It seemed like it would last forever, especially the first baby, right? You just had never went that long without sleep and without taking a shower. It just seemed like it would last forever. When we had our twins, they're 4 and 5 for us. Number 4 and 5, they're not 4 and 5. They were 4 and 5 number in our children. They were born the last day of August. And so I had a 1-year-old. And then our two oldest, who were in, I want to say, 1st and 3rd grade, they had just started back to school for that year. So when the twins were babies, I had truly days where I thought, this has got to be a slow death. And it felt like this was going to last forever. We've all been there. You've had those days. And I felt like I could never get on top of it. And I thought I was losing it. I was losing my mind. I was going to lose all my kids. I was just, it was going downhill from here. Looking back, that's so silly. I mean, that season lasted for just a little bit of time. We're all alive and doing fine. It was temporary. But aren't there seasons that feel that way? Not every season in marriage is blissful and problem-free. There are seasons that I have felt like, I can't believe this is our real life. Have you ever thought that? I can't believe I'm living this right now. I feel a little bit like that right now. Every marriage has trials. That's normal. But those trials become big as we make them. I have learned that. And we don't have to let a trial or a difficult season in our marriage define the whole rest of our marriage. Let it be a season. Let it be a short time. I've heard it said many times that a spiritual person will take a big problem, you probably heard this, and make it smaller. A spiritual person takes a big problem and makes it smaller, and a carnal person takes a small problem and makes it bigger. And I'm not saying that there's not big trials sometimes. I know there are. But refer back to that number one in your notes and remember that God's in control of even the big seasons, the big trials. And his hands are not all of a sudden tied just because you're experiencing a difficult season. God talks a lot about hope and about new things in his word. Isaiah 43:16 through 19. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God does new things, impossible things. He makes ways in the wilderness and he makes rivers in dry desert, the Bible says. You're never stuck in a season as long as you're with God. Revelation 21:4-5 says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Even if your difficult season seems permanent here on earth, maybe something like a terminal illness or the loss of a loved one here on earth, that season is also temporary in light of eternity and what we know about eternity. That first moment that you step into heaven, that difficult season's done. It's behind you, and we have that hope. All the tears will be wiped away and the former things will be past. So just like we read back in 1 Peter, we may be in a season of a trial, but it is surrounded by hope and joy and the power of God. God's mercy and love is also made new. We read these verses last night. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God's doing a lot of new things all the time. He makes new ways. He makes new seasons. He makes things new. In heaven, he gives us grace every morning, new grace every morning. It's in God's nature to make things new. And so that season you're in is not permanent. He goes before us and makes crooked places straight. That's what the Bible says. And in light of that, then one season that I'm in does not define my entire marriage. With God, something new is always coming. Right now, if you are following him, then he is in heaven working all things for your good. You can trust him for that. So first of all, God's in control of the seasons. And then secondly, one season does not have to define my whole marriage. Number three, write this down if you're taking notes. Seasons change, but God does not. Seasons change, but God does not. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. I'm the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I love this truth. While seasons change and life changes and babies grow and marriages change, God never, ever, ever changes. And his truth never, ever changes. And I don't want to oversimplify this point, but I feel like we're usually guilty of complicating it. And I don't want to do that either. The Christian life is not always as difficult as we make it sometimes. Neither is marriage. Did you know that in order to be married or stay married, you don't have to become a marriage expert? You don't have to be able to predict your future or become a master of the seasons of marriage. You don't even have to completely understand the season that you're in. The word success shows up only one time in the Bible. You know that. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So how do we successfully navigate seasons of marriage? One word, one answer to that, and that's truth. God's truth. Success happens when we read God's word, when we hear God's word, and then we do what God's word says to do. We don't have to reason it out. We don't have to understand it all, but we do have to do it. You and your season aren't exempt from God's word, nor are you the exception to God's word. God's truth does not change, no matter the season that you're in. The Bible says in Proverbs, "My son, forget not my law." Proverbs 3. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Be not wise in your own eyes. Those are pretty powerful words. That's pretty direct. John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." So how do we apply that to our marriage? I think instead of focusing on what changes, let's think about what's true. Here's the truth. God loves you. Is that true?
Yes.
That's a true statement. 1 John 4:10, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." Here's another truth. You are married. You're in this room. You're married. You are a wife. That's what you are. Here's another truth. The God who loves you has a plan for you. That's true. And so many issues in our marriage would be non-existent if we just simply followed God's plan. Sometimes it's necessary, it is, to get marriage counseling at times, but most of the time, a commitment to obey God's word makes the biggest difference in a marriage. As you read your Bible, you'll not find a lot of marriage advice. There's not a lot of, if you give this and you give this and you give this and you give this, then this is what happens. God actually speaks directly to the husbands. This is what I want you to do. This is between you and me. And then directly to the wives. This is not an agreement that we make to each other. It's a commitment that we make to God, to each other. But the requirements come from God himself. God says, "Wives, here's what I want you to do." And this is truth. 1 Peter 3:1. "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands." That's God's truth. Ephesians 5:33. "And the wife see that she reverence her husband." Then he says, "Husbands, here's what I want you to do." And he gives them responsibilities, and that's truth. My actions as a wife are not to be a reaction to my husband's actions. Does that make sense? That's a lot of actions. Or a reaction to the season of life I'm in or passing through. They are always to be in response to God's truth. And that helps me always know what to do because God's truth doesn't change. So whether your husband is saved or growing in the Lord, or whatever season he is in, God's truth doesn't change. So when seasons change, go back to what's true. What do you know to be true? Go back to the basics. God's word is always true, and we can live it in every season that we find ourselves in. Number four, remember that there are blessings and realities to every season. There are blessings and realities to each season. We see that even in just the weather. There are blessings to winter. Everybody's got some favorite things about winter. It's Christmas time. There's fire in the fireplace. Hot chocolate. More time. Feels like there's more time in the winter. There's blessings to spring. There's new flowers, new growth, sunshine. All the birds are having babies. That's just a beautiful part of time of the year, spring. There's blessings to summer. There's things to be enjoyed in the summer. We get to be outdoors a little more. The days are longer. More time with our kiddos. Not such a schedule. There's blessings to fall. Maybe you're a coffee drinker and fall brings that back out in you. The sweater weather. Out here, I imagine fall's beautiful. I can't say that about where I was coming from, but I think this looks like it's going to be beautiful in the fall. So there's blessings to every season, but there's also realities to all of those seasons, right? Same season, not always everything about it is a blessing. What are some realities to winter? Well, Christmas is coming, so what does that mean? Shopping and lists and to-dos and long lines and traffic. There's a need to get ready for the weather here. I don't think about that kind of stuff, but it's true. You got to pull out all that stuff. I imagine you start bundling everybody up. And there's realities to spring. It's beautiful. The birds are having babies, but the bugs are also having babies. And there's allergies, and there's all kinds of stuff about the spring. That's also not in the blessing category. Realities to summer. Heat, sweat, you're out of schedule. Maybe all the kids home is not a blessing, depending on how you look at that. I don't know. Realities to fall. Time to get back to school, back in the schedule, back on system, get back into routine. So no matter what season you're in, there are blessings to it, and then there's realities to it. That's just life. And in a marriage, I found that we don't always both feel the blessings and the realities at the same time. Let me give you a big picture illustration. I can't think of a better picture of sacrifice than when Jesus died on the cross for me. My biggest blessing in life came at his greatest cost. And it was one time, one event, one experience, yet felt so differently, completely free from me. And it cost him absolutely everything. And the Bible says in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And while it's fun to be on the receiving end, it's even more fun to be on the giving end. And we know that to be true, right? Moms, Christmas got a whole lot more fun when we got to start giving to our children. And the one thing I found in marriage is that many times I'm in a season of blessing, and it might not be a season of blessing for my husband. It might be a reality type of a season for him, while it's a season of blessing for me. And as wives, we have to understand that what might be a blessing to me might be difficult for my husband. The same exact season, or something I appreciate might simply be the result of a reality for my husband. Illustration. I remember one day, it was one of those days, you know, just feeling really overwhelmed at home, and I had been home all day, and it was one of those get it all done kind of days. And so the house was clean, the laundry, cooking, all that kind of stuff. And I watched my husband, I was a little worn out, and I watched my husband walk in the door from work, and he set his stuff down, and he just set it down. And that bugged me. And then he went into the room and changed into clean clothes that I had folded and put in his drawer that day. You know, once it starts, it goes. Yeah. And threw his clothes in a hamper that I would wash and stopped in the bathroom that I had cleaned that day. And then he just came and sat down to wait at a table for a meal that I was supposed to be preparing. And I was having one of those days, and I spoke before I thought, and I should have never said this, but I looked at him and I said, it really must be nice to have a wife. And I meant it in that moment. Just imagine everybody always taking care of everything that you could ever possibly need.
Right?
How nice. And my husband said, it is. And then he said, but then he said, sometimes I think it must be nice to have a husband. And I thought, that's true. He's got a good point. There's a lot of things that I never think about. For us, I never once think about if my car is going to turn on or if it's running or anything. He does all of that. I don't ever think about taking care of the yard. He does all of that. I don't think about paying bills. He does all of that. That's something he likes to do. So the point is that maybe something that's a blessing to me is just plain old work to him. And what's a blessing to him can be difficult to me. Same experience, we view it differently. And that can be magnified during certain seasons of life. Sometimes think about when a new baby's born. We as mamas, we're working hard and sleeping less, but we are in a baby honeymoon, right? It's just all about that baby. And a man might just feel in that exact same season that he has just lost his wife for good. Her attention is turned elsewhere. It can be the opposite when the empty nest happens. Some men act like life just got good again, while a woman is coming apart.
Yeah.
Same season, but you view it very differently. We don't always feel the same about every season, and that's okay. Doesn't mean there's a problem, it just means you're different. So be willing to help him enjoy a season and be thankful. when his effort means that you get to enjoy one. And that's a good way to just leave that, that it doesn't mean that there's a problem every season, but it just means you're different. Number five, lastly, I may not have control of the season, but I still have control over me. I may not have control of the season, but I still have control over me. One of the most difficult parts of maturing, whether in our individual lives or our marriages, I think is simply learning to live above our emotions, learning to live above our emotional state. Because for every season change, there's a ton of emotions, right? And that's not to say that we're continually on this quest to get rid of all emotion. Not at all. God made us emotional. God is emotional. The Bible says that he loves and he hates and he's jealous. He's compassionate. He gets angry. He feels hurt. So it's not our emotions that are our enemy. It's our behavior that can become our enemy. And when I'm living under the power of God, then I can feel the hurt and I can still respond in grace. And I can be angry, but I can still forgive. And I can feel hate in a moment, but I can respond in kindness. And that's what the power of God does. One of the verses that I think about often, because I have to apply it often, is 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul was saying that even if something's true, even if it's valid, even if you have a point, and the verse says, even if it's lawful, I will not be brought under the power of it. Because we're to live under the power of God and his truth, not under the power of our emotions. And our emotions are powerful. Emotions are to be subject to truth. And what is truth? God's word is truth. Does that mean that a mature Christian no longer feels anything? No, I don't think so. But I think it means that a mature Christian knows that she is feeling a feeling. That's all it is. This is a feeling. And her life is in response to God's word, not every feeling that she feels. Because my current season does not change God's truth. And as long as my life is matching up to God's word, then the seasons can change, but the seasons can't change me. And that's the difference. So what does that mean in marriage? It means that we may feel that no one understands our season, but the truth is that God does. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsizing, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. It means that you may feel like you can't handle this season. This one's too difficult. But the truth is that with God you can. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It means that when you are looking at the next season, and you don't understand how to get through that one, God already knows. He's already there, and he sees the other side of it. Jeremiah 29:11 says, For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. It means that when you feel like you just have to tell him what you're thinking, or you might explode, it's got to come out. The truth is that you won't explode by keeping it in. It's called maturity. Listen to this, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What you want to say may be 100% true, but just because something is true doesn't mean that it should be said. We know that's right. And that doesn't mean that we as wives have to always keep our mouths shut and we never get an opinion about anything. I don't think that was God's purpose. God says in Proverbs 14:1 that every wise woman buildeth her house. We actually have quite a bit of responsibility in our home, but it's to be a builder. The standard for our speech is not truth, it's love. That took me a while to wrap my head around that one, but I read that and I thought, that's true. The standard for our speech is not truth, it's love. And if what you have to say is not building and not edifying and not helpful and loving, then it shouldn't be said. You can leave that thought with the Lord and just move on. I read this quote a few years ago and wrote this one down. You might want to write this one down too. It's kind of deep. It is not necessary to react to everything you notice. I tell my teenagers that at this stage. It is not necessary to react to everything you notice. Let that sink in for a minute. Some of us are like, really? You sure? But it's true. It is not necessary to react to everything we noticed. For some of us, just practicing that one thought might change our marriage. We don't have to react to everything we notice. Have you ever met someone who hated every single season? Didn't matter what the weather was. She's freezing and sick and miserable all winter long. She's busy and tired and sick in the wind or rain of spring, miserable in the heat, tired of having the kids home all summer, sniffly and grumpy and frustrated in the fall. Doesn't matter what the season is, she finds something she doesn't like about it. Don't be that kind of wife. Don't look at every season as something that you have to be, that you have to endure. Look at it as a place to grow from. How can you help build your home during the season you're in right now? It's not going to last forever. What can you do to help in this season? Because you don't have control of the seasons. We don't have control of the seasons, but we still have control. I still have control over me and how I react. So as we close today, I wanted to share one more verse that I found with the word season in it. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Marriage is made up of a whole bunch of different seasons, but someday you are going to reap what you're sowing in this season right now. What is that? What are you sowing today in your marriage? Is it panic? Frustration? Remember that we said, number one, God's in control of the seasons. Do you feel stuck in your marriage? Are you just flat discouraged? Remember that one season doesn't define your whole marriage. Have hope. God is doing new things every day. Are things changing? Are you in that kind of a season? Unfamiliar ground. Remember that seasons change, but God never does. Focus on Him. Focus back to God, back to the basics, which you know to be true. What about sacrifice? Are you willing to give for a season to your husband? Instead of getting frustrated, understand that there's good and difficult to every season, and sometimes it's good for one and difficult to the other, for the other, and that's fine. Be willing to die to self and give sometimes. And lastly, when you feel like your season is completely out of control, remember that you still control you. Don't lose control. Don't become a victim to your emotions in your season. Keep those emotions subject to truth, because truth never changes.